Welcome to the Laura's House podcast series. In this installment of our podcast series, we will discuss some of the dangers posed by texting when it comes to teen dating violence. We'll also learn about the signs that parents can use to identify whether their teen is in an abusive relationship, or find out more information about Laura's House Healthy Emotions and Attitudes and Relationships for Teens, also called our HEART program, is helping with educating teens and preventing dating violence before it starts. With me today is Hamali Shah. She's an advocate with Laura's House. Welcome, Hamali.
Thanks for having me.
Look around today and you can see teens everywhere typing on their phones to text their friends and their family with messages. When does texting become dangerous?
Texting has really become the modern way that young people communicate. We don't see them actually talking on their phones as often as we see them furiously texting their friends. Cell phones and texting pose many dangers for today's teens because they offer a convenient way for an abusive or jealous boyfriend or girlfriend to keep tabs on their partner. The widespread use of cell phones and unlimited texting plans among teens has paved the way for what is now being referred to as textual harassment. Texting is also a silent means of abuse. In many cases, only the intended recipient will see the text messages, unless the recipient decides to report the text to someone who can help. In the case of Siobhan Russell of Oak Hill, Virginia, her parents found many texts from her boyfriend after she was killed in April of 2009, some of which were very disturbing. In a recent interview with the Washington Post, Lynn Russell, Siobhan's mother, said that the privacy of text messaging helped to obscure the danger facing her daughter. Another challenge with texting is that the abuser can bombard a girlfriend or a boyfriend with hundreds of texts. In a recent case, a 22-year-old Virginia woman received text messages day and night from an ex-boyfriend who wanted her back. Sometimes he would send 20 to 30 texts at once. Reports indicate that he texted and called her a total of 758 times. This constant stream of messages can compel the harassed victim to answer, and in the worst cases, can lead to an escalation of the situation to physical abuse and even death, as was in the sad case of Siobhan Russell. Back in 2007, Dr. Jill Murray, a psychologist who specializes in teen relationship violence, has written books on the topic and speaks nationally about teen dating violence, addressed the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. She stated that technology sets up the opportunity for constant stalking, for constant communication, for constant intimidation and threatening behavior.
Are there any statistics available to point to the prevalence of textual harassment among teens?
In 2008, a survey of children ages 11 to 14 conducted by Liz Claiborne, Inc. found that 25% of the 1,000 respondents said that they had been called names, harassed, or ridiculed by their romantic partner by cell phone or text message, often between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. while their parents were asleep. And up to 82% of their parents had no idea what was happening. The Liz Claiborne study also found that 2 in 5, which is about 40% of tweens who have been in a relationship, know friends who have been called names, put down, or insulted via cell phone, instant messaging, social networking sites, such as Facebook and MySpace. According to a 2007 study, 1 in 3 teens reported receiving 10 to 30 text messages an hour from a partner keeping tabs on them. 1 in every 4 teens reported that their partners called them names or harassed them through text messages and cell phones. Dr. Jill Murray stated in a recent interview with the Washington Post that textual harassment has gotten astonishingly worse in the last 2 years. It's part and parcel of every abusive dating relationship now. As a parent, what are some of the things that I can do to become more aware and protect my teen from textual harassment?
Not all teens are able to recognize the signs of an unhealthy relationship. Probably one of the most important things that a parent can do is to keep the lines of communication open with their child. Parents need to be able to discuss warning signs of potential or real dating violence by asking if their teen is receiving excessive text messages or calls from their boyfriend or girlfriend. They also need to find out if the boyfriend or girlfriend is monitoring their calls, emails, and social networking interactions. Have they shared passwords to their Facebook, MySpace, or email accounts or PIN numbers for their phone? Does the boyfriend or girlfriend frequently show up unannounced? Does he or she tell their child what to wear or publicly embarrass them? Do they accuse your teen of cheating or flirting? Do they prevent them from spending time with other friends doing things they enjoy? Does the boyfriend or girlfriend threaten suicide or self-injury in the event of a breakup? Another important thing for parents to be aware of is the multiple social networking accounts owned by their teen. Some teens have accounts that span Facebook, MySpace, Google, and many other websites.
What if my child isn't willing to open up to me about any issues they're having with their boyfriend or girlfriend?
It is true, and research has shown that very few teens are willing to discuss dating violence with their parents, especially if they are currently experiencing dating violence. In some relationships, dating violence can include verbal abuse, while in others, the abuse is physical. If you suspect your teen daughter in particular is in an abusive relationship, the National Youth Violence Prevention Resource Center offers the following signs to look for. She apologizes for his behavior, makes excuses for him, or seems afraid of him. She loses interest in people or activities she used to enjoy. Her appearance, behavior, mood, or personality suddenly changes. For example, she becomes anxious, depressed, secretive, isolated, or acts out. She recently started using drugs or alcohol. You notice he calls her names or puts her down in front of other people. He seems controlling, jealous, and possessive, checking up on her constantly or calling and texting her excessively. She has unexplained bruises, scratches, or injuries, offers explanations that don't make sense or laughs them off. And he loses his temper easily, striking or breaking objects or otherwise acting violently or insults and criticizes her. If a parent suspects that their son may be abusing his dating partner, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention offers the following signs to look for. Use of threats or violence to solve problems, alcohol or drug use, inability to manage anger or frustration, poor social skills, association with violent friends, problems at school, lack of parental supervision, support, or discipline, and witnessing abuse at home.
We've talked about some of the ways that an abusive dating relationship can manifest itself through technology. Can you tell us more about why abusive relationships occur in teen populations?
Fear and insecurity. In dating relationships, when one partner becomes angry when their boyfriend or girlfriend interacts with a member of the opposite sex and accuses them of flirting with other people, tries to make them jealous, or gives them the cold shoulder, it is a good indication that the person is frightened and insecure, and that the relationship is headed in the wrong direction. Guys and girls alike need to watch for these warning signs because frightened and insecure people often seek power over the other person by becoming verbally or even physically abusive.
What sort of impact does dating violence have on teen populations?
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, destructive relationships during the teen years can lead to lifelong unhealthy relationship practices, may disrupt normal development, and can contribute to other unhealthy behaviors in teens that can lead to chronic mental and physical health conditions in adulthood. Teens who were physically hurt by a dating partner were more likely to say they engage in risky sexual behavior, binge drinking, use drugs, attempted suicide, and participate in physical fights.
Is there anything that we can do to help prevent dating violence before it starts?
Well, education is the key. Many states have laws that support the development of educational curriculums to teach and increase sexual violence and teen dating violence awareness in schools. Among these states are Florida, Georgia, Illinois, New Jersey, Ohio, Rhode Island, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and Washington. In 2009, Connecticut, Georgia, Hawaii, Indiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Montana, Nebraska, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Ohio, Oklahoma, and South Carolina introduced legislative measures to establish or strengthen sexual violence and teen dating violence awareness in educational schools. In the state of California, under existing law, school districts are not required to provide either its employees or students with educational programs about teen dating violence. They also are not required to have a response policy or protocol for complaints of teen dating violence. This is why the Laura's House Healthy Emotions and Attitudes in Relationships for Teens, or HEART program, is so essential. It fills a void left by the absence of teen dating violence awareness and prevention programs in our schools.
Can you tell us a little bit about the HEART program at Laura's House?
Sure. Through the HEART program, teens can become educated on healthy relationships and appropriate conflict resolution skills. It is through this program that Laura's House hopes to prevent violence before it starts. Workshops on healthy relationships have been held at numerous schools and youth facilities throughout Orange County. And during 2009, the program reached more than 2,900 teens. In addition to our outreach programs, Laura's House offers Heart Strong, a weekly support group for teen boys and girls at our Counseling and Resource Center in Ladera Ranch. Each week, the group discusses a different topic related to dating violence and healthy relationships. Some of those topics include defining domestic violence and families, media portrayal of relationships, identifying red flags for domestic violence, healthy dating relationships, boundaries and communication, managing anger and conflict resolution skills, self-esteem, and safety planning. Our Creative Heart Teen Group is a closed group for teen girls whose lives have been impacted by domestic violence. The format of this program enables teens to more fully recognize signs of abusive behavior in others and provides tips on how to set boundaries in their abusive relationships. Each session includes an art project and subsequent discussion to both educate and empower teens to develop healthy relationship skills and end the cycle of violence in their own lives. Laura's House also has a website designed to assist teens who are seeking information on healthy relationships. Teens can visit the website www.laurashouse.org/LHteen for more information. They can also become a fan of Laura's House on MySpace and Facebook, and learn more about our programs through videos posted on YouTube.
Can you recommend any books or other resources that provide information on how to better cope with teen domestic violence?
Two excellent books are But I Love Him by Dr. Jill Murray and In Love with Danger by Barry Levy, MSW. Both books are available from local libraries and booksellers, as well as online at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Outside of friends, family, and local law enforcement, where can a teen get help if they think they're in an abusive relationship?
As we addressed earlier, many teens are hesitant to admit to a parent or even to a friend that they are in an abusive relationship. Laura's House offers a toll-free hotline that is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that teens can call it help. The number is 1-866-498-1511. Another great resource is the National Teen Dating Abuse Helpline, which can be reached at 1-866-331-9474 and is also online at www.loveisrespect.org.
Before we conclude this podcast, can you please tell me about Laura's House and the programs and services the organization provides to victims of domestic violence?
Well, Laura's House is a community-based nonprofit organization that empowers individuals and families to lead violence-free lives. We offer a comprehensive range of services, including safe refuge for women and children escaping violent homes. We also offer legal support services, counseling, community education, and prevention workshops for teens on healthy relationships and dating violence. The inception of Laura's House was inspired by a true story about a woman called Laura from Orange County who was a victim of domestic violence. Unfortunately, the end of her particular story is a very, very tragic one. Her life was cut short with her untimely death at the young age of 38. Since 1994, Laura's House has continued to grow and offer a multitude of programs and services, which provide vital support and education aimed at avoiding such tragic circumstances from ever occurring again. Our mission is to change the social beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors that perpetuate domestic violence while creating a safe space in which to empower individuals and families affected by the abuse.
How can someone learn more or get involved with Laura's House?
Well, you can learn more by logging onto our website, which is at www.laurashouse.org, or calling 949-361-3775. Women and children in need of emergency shelter can call our toll-free hotline, which is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the number is 866-498-1511. Our Counseling and Resource Center can be reached at 949-361-3775.
Well, that concludes another installment of the Laura's House podcast series. Thank you for joining me, Hamali.
Thank you for having me.